Amen. All right. Well, hey, you guys probably heard and noticed and realized I've been doing a lot of traveling lately. I'm not saying that to boast or anything, but in fact, just got back from a conference in Kentucky and made it out of there alive. I kid you not, until I got there, I didn't realize that's the birthplace of that fried chicken joint, right? I was actually in the enemy's territory. I made it out. Woo! Right. And it's cool. God's opened up doors. We're getting to share the God's word and the gospel out all over the place. Okay. And that's not my point. My point is I've been traveling so much lately and I started to notice a pattern. Okay. I'm a guy. It took me a while. Okay. But I noticed a pattern. And did you know in the airports that they actually cater to two different groups of people? You talk about class warfare, folks. It goes on at the airports like this guy shares. Watch this.
I mean, I fly a lot. I go to a lot of airports and stuff. They always, you know, and they do the announcements for getting on the plane. It's always the same, like, first class people, you're welcome to board first class. First class, Sky Elite status, Sky Team, Sky members, One World Alliance members, Platinum Plus, Platinum First Class. All the successful people, go ahead and get on the plane right now. Success. If you've ever done anything with your life, thank you for being born. We love you all. Please get on the plane at your leisure. We'd like to continue boarding with the unwashed masses. The unwashed masses. All you gypsies, tramps, and thieves, it's your turn to put your shoes on and grab whatever you travel with. Grab your chickens and your milk crates, it's your turn to get on.
But that's us, honey. We're gonna fly on the air. We're gonna go up real high.
I will not mention anything about Kentucky. We'll just move on. But hey, listen... That was a good airport. But anyway, now I'm not going to ask you which group of you, which you fall into, but you can believe me, I'm not traveling with no chicken, okay? Now, maybe a milk crate, okay, but not no chicken, okay? But seriously, this whole analogy reminds me, folks, of two groups that God said would be traveling here real soon one day, according to the Bible, right? One group is called You and I, the Christian. We're going on a trip. Did you realize that? Now, we may be looked down upon in this world and act like we're carrying a bunch of chickens and a milk crate. You know, right? Okay. But one day the Bible says we get to leave, praise God, through Jesus Christ at the rapture of the church. We're going on a trip beyond our wildest dreams. You talk about first class. Okay. It's going to be awesome. Okay. Now, unfortunately, the other group is those who are rejecting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, often because of that kind of stuff. Oh, I'm just so successful. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. And guess what? They're going on a trip too. They're going on a trip straight into the 7-year tribulation, the worst time of man's history. You don't want to be there. It's going to be their worst nightmare. Why? Because again, the 7-year tribulation, folks, we've been seeing or study, is not a joke. It is a time when God pours out his wrath nonstop 7 years, not 7 days, not 7 weeks, not 7 months, 7 years nonstop on this wicked and rebellious planet. How many times has Jesus told us, folks, Matthew 24, that time frame is going to be so horrible that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. You don't want to be there. That's not a trip you want to be on. Amen. You need to take the first class trip through Jesus Christ and avoid it at the rapture, okay? But what we've been seeing is, praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And how does he demonstrate that? Folks, by devoting nearly one-third of this book we call the Bible, God's word, to prophetic issues. Not one-three-hundredth, not one-thirtieth, one-third deals directly or indirectly with Bible prophecy-related issues. Why? Because God wants us to know the future. So that, again, as we Christians, so we don't get sidetracked and get sucked into this wicked world system and miss out on the golden opportunity, the privilege we have to share with the lost that there's a way out of this mess. Amen? Right? That's why he tells us. And also, if you're not saved, again, even here today, God's trying to reach out to you. He loves you. He's made a way 100% completely done through Jesus Christ. You don't have to go there. Just choose Jesus. But if you don't, you're going in. And that's going to be your biggest mistake ever, okay? That's how he demonstrates us his love. So we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. In other words, signs that the 7-year tribulation is getting close. God doesn't tell us, of course, the exact day or hour, but he gives us signs it's getting close. We've already seen that first of two signs in our 20-week study called the Jewish people and the Antichrist. Then the last five times we saw the second sign was modern technology and the AI invasion. Now, so far we've seen the first three signs, Bible prophecy related events, showing us that yes, modern technology and yes, even what we would call a new development called artificial intelligence has everything to do with Bible prophecy as a sign we're living in the last days. Now, we've already seen that first sign for 3 weeks was the increase of travel. The second issue of modern technology we saw, a sign you're living in the last days, is the increase of communication. And then last time, if you recall, we saw the third one was the increase of distribution. Okay? And what we saw there was for the first time in the history of mankind that they are now connecting all delivery routes across the globe. Remember that? By China, who's trying to become the next global super trade power there. And what we saw is that it's very interesting because that also could very well be the actual infrastructure that the book of Revelation says, Revelation 16, that the kings of the East are going to travel on to make it to the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the seven-year tribulation. That infrastructure is being built right now by China. Okay? And it's all high-tech and all that stuff. They can get there lickety-split, unfortunately. Then we saw the computerization of all delivery routes, which we saw now gives birth to the Revelation 11 passage of the death of the two witnesses. Not only do we have the communication technology to view their dead bodies around the planet, it says there, for 3.5 days, that's common sense. But it says they sent gifts to each other around the world to celebrate the death of the two witnesses, and within 3.5 days. Well, now with all this delivery option computerized, with Amazon leading the way, 3.5 days, man, we can make it, as we saw, any item you could basically ever want, any kind of even food item, they can now get it to you in 30 minutes or less. Even minute passages in the Bible are coming to pass concerning modern technology in the last days. It's not coming, it's already here, right? So the fourth one we're going to take a look at today, modern technology. How do you know you're living in the last days? Well, you're going to see an increase, listen, of not just transactions, but what kind? Electronic transactions. Of course, what I'm talking about is a cashless society. What happened to the cash, man? Right? Do you think it's by chance that cash is going away? No, it has everything to do with what is needed to pull off the events in the seven-year tribulation, specifically the mark of the beast, okay? But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Open your Bibles to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Let's take a look at this mark of the beast issue, okay, that's instituted by the false prophet and the Antichrist. And what does this have to do with a cashless society that we're seeing happen right now before our very eyes, okay? But let's take a look. Revelation 13, verses 11 through 17. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Here's what it says, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. This is the false prophet. And he spoke like a dragon. He too was inspired of Satan, just like the Antichrist. Satan, of course, being the dragon defined by the context. He goes on and says, now he exercised authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf. And he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And then he ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, again the Antichrist, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to that image of the first beast so that it could listen, speak, and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. And then here it is. He also forced how many? Everyone, all, you name it, the whole planet, and then he breaks it down. It doesn't matter what stature, this is what's going to happen. Whether it's small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one, how many? No one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. You may be seated if you can there. But basically, again, if you're not familiar with this passage, you should be. It's a classic passage dealing with the mark of the beast. And basically, in a nutshell, before we start tearing into it, the Bible says that one day, listen, all the inhabitants of the earth, listen, all the inhabitants of the earth are going to be under a one world, i.e. a universal economy, a one world economy, a universal monetary system that, listen, the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to totally control. It says right there, it's common sense, they're literally going to be controlling all the what? All the buying and selling. Folks, you're talking about monetary issues. What does it take to buy and sell? How do you buy and sell between different countries? It's all about economy. It's all monetary related. It's common sense. One day, the world, believe it or not, is going to be unified into this one world economy that, as we're going to see, is not only common sense cashless, but we're going to see, it says right there, it's actually a satanically inspired system. That's who the dragon is. That's who's inspiring this system is Satan. Now, believe it or not, folks, that system is not coming. That system is already being put into place just in time for the mark of the beast of the seven-year tribulation. And again, what's our action point? Are we as Christians going to be in the seven-year tribulation? No. Are you and I ever going to have to fear, oh no, the mark, I don't... No, that's not going to be our concern because we're not in there. Okay, the action point for you and I is if we see these events, including the cashless society needed to pull off the mark of the beast in the seven-year tribulation, and we leave prior, then guess what? We're back to that one health exercise that I recommend all people do three times a day. Rapture practice. Right? It can happen at any time. We don't know the day nor the hour. But listen, it's all in place. Now, I want to demonstrate that to you for three different ways. The first way they've done it, folks, with modern technology to be able to fulfill the Mark of the Beast passage is they've already, listen, it's not coming, they've already connected all the global economies. Right? Think about it. They've connected all the global economies. Now, whether you realize it or not, whether you were taught this in school or whether you're even paying attention to the news, folks, right now, there's already in place, not coming, there's already in place plans for absolute total economic control for the whole planet. Now, the problem is, as it's already being laid out there, because it's already set, just waiting for some trigger event, for some entity to take control of the whole thing. I wonder who that is. But what's sad is it's already happened. It's already laid out there. But unfortunately, for most of us, when it comes to the economy, we don't even know how the thing works. It's just a bunch of gobbledygook, right? Like these guys share. See if this sounds familiar to you.
Thanks for your time.
Very good to be with you, Brian, and good evening.
Now, you're a market economist.
Yes, well, most economists are market economists, Brian, to a degree these days, yes.
How do you think things are going at the moment?
Well, there's a great deal of international concern. I mean, we're taking a toweling, but things will sort themselves out, Brian. This is what a market does.
Well, can you explain to me how it all works?
How the economy works?
Well, yeah, what's the problem at the moment, for instance?
Well, what we've got at the moment is an international credit crisis.
Yes, how does that happen?
Well, I'm a bank, Brian, and I borrow money and I lend it out, and I charge more to the people I'm lending it to than I pay to the people from whom I'm borrowing it.
Well, who do you borrow money from?
Well, from, you know, depositors, Brian. Have you got a dollar?
Well, yeah,
you know, I
sure.
borrow your dollar and I give you, you know, there's your bank balance.
$1.
$1.
Right. Okay. And you pay interest to me on that?
I do. But I also charge you fees.
Well, why do you charge me fees?
Because, Brian, I'm looking after your money. Your money is secure with me. I'm a bank. I mean, this is a very important amount of money. This is probably your nest egg. It's safe with us.
And how much interest do you pay me?
Approximately the same as I'm charging you in fees.
Oh, good deal for me.
Well, your money's secure with us, Brian, and I then lend that money to businesses, and those businesses generate income. This is how we build an economy.
Yeah. And they put that income into the bank.
They do, of course, Brian, and that builds the savings pool, and we can invest more money.
Well, who do you lend that to?
Well, to people who need credit, Brian. You see, money creates more money, so if we can create money that creates more money, we're broadening the economy, we're expanding it all the time.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But shouldn't people just buy the thing afford?
You don't need to afford the things you're buying, Brian. You need to afford the interest on the money you need to borrow in order to buy them.
And you're charging higher rates for all this?
We do hop into them a wee bit on the credit rate, Brian. We stick the hydraulics under that because it's a slightly higher risk strategy.
Do people need to be buying these things that
well,
they can't afford?
Obviously, they think so, Brian. I mean, these things are advertised to people as very necessary, very important, and deeply, deeply attractive.
Well, who's advertising things that people don't need?
The companies we're lending the money to.
So, okay, then you bought into the US subprime housing market.
Well, Brian, so concerned are we to build a better Australia.
You helped build a worse America.
Yeah, well, that was an accident, Brian. What we were doing was investing in the international investment market.
And that's been a disaster.
It, frankly, famously, hasn't been a huge success hitherto.
Well, so what are you going to do?
Well, now you give me $700 billion immediately.
Why?
Well, because we need it, Brian. I mean, the system needs money. Imagine the economy as a body. It needs blood pumping around it, Brian.
And you haven't got
any? We haven't got any money, no.
Well, why not?
Well, we lost ours. I've just been explaining that.
Well, you're not having mine. It's the only money I've got.
You're in for it.
Yeah, you're in for it. That's right. Yeah. Does that sound true or what, right? Just a bunch of gobbledygook, and what are you talking about? And somewhere along the line, you kind of know you're getting ripped off. Okay, but that's usually our general knowledge when it comes to the economy. But here's my point. Whether we realize it or not, whether we understand how the system works or not, here's the whole point. Our planet right now, not coming, not 50 years down the road, it's already connected economically around the world, and it's been that way for quite some time. Okay? We are not our own island anymore. Our economy is driven and tied all together. Now, let me give you some of that proof. There's already in place what's called a universal bank. It's literally called the World Bank. Okay? The World Bank. Okay? And this is the world's leader of lending money to nations around the planet. Our planet already has a World Bank. Now, wait a second. You think about, well, if you're going to have a universal bank, then you need to have a universal lending institution that oversees all the dispersion of these loans to all the countries that are receiving these monetary issues from this World Bank. Well, why do you think we have this institution? You may have heard of it. It's called the International Monetary Fund. The International Monetary Fund oversees the whole world's financial system, and they are the one who fixes the exchange rates. Well, wait a second. If you're going to have a universal lending institution, then you need to have a universal money exchanger that funnels all the money into the different worlds. Well, that's what they've already had in place for a long time. A universal electronic banking system is called SWIFT. Okay. And this system automatically makes sure that all the different money transactions in the world matches all the different world's appropriate currencies. Okay. It's an automatic procedure. But then you're thinking, well, wait a second. If you're going to have a universal money exchanger, then you need to have a universal strong arm for those and to be able to punish those who don't obey this world banking system. Well, folks, what in the world do you think this existence is in for? The World Trade Organization. That's exactly what this entity is, which not only listens, sets the trading rules around the world, but they punish countries, including the United States of America, with billion-dollar fines when you don't do what they say. That's a monetary strong arm around the world. But again, and there's more to it, but I want to give you just an overview. Folks, our world economies, it's already tied together. The machinery needed to pull off a global system that you can globally begin to pull off the Revelation 13, the buying and selling, that system is already here. Okay? Now, to further tie up the intimate details and connect all the countries to this global economic system, that's with the issue that's in the news lately is with all these treaties. Have you noticed all these treaties? Especially since President Trump got elected. Okay. This is big news because you combine this machinery that's already in place with all these global treaties and you've got everything connected together. Now, real quick, let me give you just a recap of when this began to start. Now, the first big one, this was in 1944. It was called the GATT Treaty, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade. This one, believe it or not, back then was a huge step to, quote, and I quote, to liberalize world trade. Right? It's a huge thing. Okay? Unfortunately, it hasn't been good, and most treaties haven't been good, if you want to stay as a sovereign, economically secure nation. Now, 50 years later, in 1994, you had this critter show up, thanks to Mr. Clinton, that was called NAFTA, which has been a complete disaster for our own country, and that's what President Trump is fighting back on. But the North American Free Trade Agreement, okay? But again, they didn't stop there. You're going to see they begin to escalate. They've got to get the world connected all together, and now you're not waiting in 50-year gaps. It gets less and less. 10 years after that, 2004, you had what was called CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement that combined the Central American countries, okay, and their economies there. The very next year, you had what was called FTAA, the Federal or the Free Trade Agreement of Americas. Now you got the Western Hemisphere all tied together. And frankly, folks, they're doing it not just in the Western Hemisphere. They're doing this all over the world, all at the same time as we sit here. Our whole planet is being intimately stitched together economically to control the whole thing, okay? First, there was what was called AFTA, or the Asian Free Trade Area, APTA, the Asian Pacific Trade Agreement, SICA, the Central American Integration System. There was what was called CEFTA, the Central European Free Trade Agreement, COMESA, that's the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, GAFTA, that's the Greater Arabs, or even getting into this, Free Trade Area, SAFTA, the South Asia Free Trade Agreement, TAFTA, the Transatlantic Free Trade, and on and on and on it goes. Now, the latest one that you're hearing about in the news is this guy. It's called the TPP. Remember that? That was a huge issue during the election. Okay? It's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which President Trump pulled out of and former President Obama and the Clintons were going headlong into. And this one would have been yet another. You thought NAFTA was bad for the economy of the U.S.? Man, this one would have been horrible. Okay? But it encompasses 12 nations, tying them all together, the Pacific area, including Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam, and all tied together with the U.S. Okay? Now, this is why the media is freaking out over our president pulling out of this, because he's messing up their global plans to stitch together with all these treaties, including the TPP, to create this intimate, controlled global society, monetarily so. But let's take a look at that campaign promise he made and he fulfilled. Let's take a look.
Your husband signed NAFTA, which was one of the worst things that ever happened to the manufacturing industry.
That is your opinion.
You go to New England, you go to Ohio, Pennsylvania, you go anywhere you want, Secretary Clinton, and you will see devastation where manufacturing is down 30, 40, sometimes 50%. NAFTA is the worst trade deal maybe ever signed anywhere, but certainly ever signed in this country. And now you want to approve Trans-Pacific Partnership. You were totally in favor of it. Then you heard what I was saying, how bad it is, and you said, I can't win that debate. But you know that if you did win, you would approve that, and that will be almost as bad as NAFTA.
Take you to the White House. President Trump, this week, his first full week in office, we can now tell you that he has signed a three today, including one that does withdraw the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
In other words, he kept his promise, right? But this is why the elites are freaking out over a president, amongst many other issues, because he is, amongst other issues, he is messing up their plans to intimately stitch together to bring down our economy, to bring up other people's economy, to create a global universal economy. Right? This is why they're freaking out over that. Why? Because you have to have these global trade agreements to create a global economy, to control all the buying and selling on the planet that's going to happen with the Mark of the Beast system and the 7-year tribulation. Do you understand? When you understand Bible prophecy, even the reason why people are freaking out over our president makes sense, right? Now, eventually what's going to happen is they're going to pull it off. Now, whether that's going to be Trump's going to turn around, which I don't think so, okay? But it could be a successor, or eventually, if we're still alive and still here, that means, unfortunately, if history repeats itself, Democrats are getting back into the office, and guess what they're going to do? What Hillary Clinton was going to do, and Obama was doing. They're going to let us go into this system, and it's over. But that's what's needed right now. Now, here's my point. This is all being put into place in 50 years? No, it's being put into place, and much of it, it's already in place. And that's exactly the machinery you need to create the Mark of the Beast system in the 7-year tribulation, controlling all the buying and selling. But that's just step one, right? The second way they're implementing a global cashless society is now they're going to this next phase. And this is connecting all global commodities, not just the economies. They're connecting all global commodities. Now, what I'm talking about, this is going to sound strange and freaky, but folks, it's already being done as we sit here. But they are also connecting every single product on the planet, every single one, with every single person on the planet. And again, that's what you need if you're going to create, again, this Mark of the Beast scenario. Let's take a look at that passage, Revelation 13, 16 through 17. And he also forced how many? Everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could what? What's the key phrase there? Buy and sell. Well, what do you buy and what do you sell? Stuff, goods, products. Who buys and who sells? People. So you got to tie it all together if you're going to control it. Common sense, right? And that's what he says. You can't buy and sell unless you have the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name, okay? And again, so you see step by step, the plan's already being put out there. The false prophet, the antichrist system needed in the 7-year tribulation is already being laid out there. They've already got the global economy. These global treaties are basically the icing on the cake, okay? But now they have to somehow, some way, connect all products and all people on a global scale, right? And you might be thinking, well, hey, listen, it's one thing to connect all the world's economies. But how in the world are you going to connect? Listen, I mean, you're talking billions, if not trillions, of products. And then the whole planet? How are you going to connect trillions of products and billions of people and be able to connect them together and monitor them at the same time? Take away their cash. We're getting to that in just a second. Their prophet John has spoken there on the second row off to my right. That's right. One of these days we'll get a camera or we'll just do an artist rendition of your head. For those of you wondering, who's that guy John? What happened to Bobby? But anyway, I digress. Okay. It's Bobby's replacement. That's what it is. But anyway, so you're seeing they're connecting all that. They're doing it right now. Listen, they right now, you're thinking, there's no way to connect all products and all people. Yes. They're doing it right now with microchip technology. And their plans is to have everything on the planet chipped, not just products, but people. And then what you do is you connect it to what I call is the global matrix. Now, see, we have a different name for that global matrix. We call it the internet. But this is the global matrix system that they're connecting through microchip technology, every product and every person on the planet. Right? Now, let's go back to the matrix that everybody's being plugged into. Okay? We call the internet. Think about it, folks. This is a new invention that has appeared when? In our lifetime. And it hasn't just appeared in our lifetime. It is something that we are completely now conditioned, listen, and now becoming dependent upon. Right? For what? For everything. All kinds of stuff, including buying and selling. Right? Now, the key word there, I think, with the word internet is net. Because this is the net that is being put out there to connect us all together. But think about the internet. In just a few short years, we have been conditioned to use it, accept it, and depend upon it for what? Everything you can think of, including financial needs, right? You can buy online, you sell online, you do your banking online, you do your study and research online, you shop online, you watch TV online, you register online, you make your appointments online. Every single thing that we do, including financial things, including buying and selling. Why do you think the stores, they call the brick and mortar stores, are going belly up? Because all the buying and selling is going to the matrix. That's not by chance, folks. We're watching it happen before our very eyes, okay? Now, here's the point. This giant matrix system is not just connecting all the information. It's not just storing all the financial information. But they are now upgrading the system as we sit here in the sanctuary to be able to handle the speeds that they need to connect every product and every person to this matrix on the planet. That's what's behind, if you've heard about this in the news, is with the new technology called 5G networks, right? Now, we're just going to talk about 5G. I don't have time to get into the health effects. That's a whole other issue that people are very concerned about. But 5G networks are being put all over the place, including our own country, right? And for those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about, let me share with you how fast this system is compared to the existing matrix that we're using. But let's take a look at this.
That is 4G, the mobile network that's used around the world to make calls, send messages, and surf the web. Now there are plans for 4G to be replaced by, you guessed it, 5G, a new faster network that has the potential to transform the internet.
5G is a software-defined network. It means that while it won't replace cables entirely, it could replace the need for them by largely operating on the cloud instead. This means it will have 100 times better capacity than 4G, which will dramatically improve internet speeds. For example, to download a 2-hour film on 3G would take about 26 hours. On 4G, you'd be waiting 6 minutes. And on 5G, you'll be ready to watch your film in just over 3.5 seconds. But it's not just internet capacity that will be upgraded. Response times will also be much faster. The 4G network responds to our commands in just under 50 milliseconds. With 5G, it will take around 1 millisecond, 400 times faster than a blink of the eye. Smartphone users will enjoy a more streamlined experience. But for a world that is increasingly dependent on the internet just to function, a reduction in time delay is critical. Some experts predict that by 2025, nearly half of all mobile connections in the US will be 5G, a greater percentage than any other country or region.
But you can see, guess what? It's coming fast, even our own country, and it's going all over the world, this new 5G system. And you might be saying, well, who cares? Whoop-de-doo. So they got faster internet speeds and they could download stuff faster and they got better response times. Folks, I'm telling you, this is what they needed. In order to pull off getting every product, every person completely connected, and dare I say, monitored at all times, so you can control all the buying and selling, It can't happen on our existing system. So they are scrambling as we sit here, and they're doing this new upgrade system. Guess what? That system can handle it. It sounds crazy, but that system is fast enough to literally monitor every product and person on the planet in real time. Now, they actually have a term for this, and of course, they always hide behind terms, right? Because, you know, people say, hey, hi there. We're developing this new system, and we're going to microchip you and everything on the planet. We're going to monitor you and everything you do like a rat in a cage. Yeah! We'd freak out. So their term is called IoT. Now pay attention because you might see this in the media. IoT, or the Internet of Things. Now that's their phrase to describe what I just described to you, is where they're going to, through microchip technology, embed every single product, every single person, connect them to this matrix system, listen, that will allow them for the first time in mankind's history to truly monitor every single product, every single person on the whole face of the earth, all at the same time, continuously, nonstop. And here's what they say. This is going to lead to a life beyond your wildest dreams. Computers, and once you're plugged into this matrix, and I'm talking you as a person, I'm talking every appliance, every car, everything, anything you can imagine has a microchip in it, the matrix will sense it all, do it all for you, and lead to a wonderful life of ease. But here's how they're pitching this Internet of Things, right? It's going to be incredible, they say. Watch this. long, but you get the idea. Turn to somebody and say, I don't want to live like a rat. Right? It reminds me, I was watching it, obviously, with you, and it reminds me of that Twilight episode. You ever see that Twilight episode where the guy crash lands on a foreign planet, supposedly, and all that stuff, and he thinks he's back on Earth, and they build him a home that looked exactly like his home and all the amenities and stuff. And then, of course, the punchline at the end of that episode was he finally was able to pull back the curtains, and he's in a zoo. And people are watching him. Folks, that's what this system is, okay? This is what the 5G network is going to allow them to do very soon. That system is being put into place right now. I don't even have time to get into it. They're already talking about even... Now, 5G can do it all. But they're even talking about 6G. I've even heard 7G speeds. But they're building this system so what? So that they can have not just faster internet downloads and speeds and times. Who cares about that? But this thing with you putting a microchip in every single product, every single person, as you saw... Everything is completely micromanaged. Every person, every product. And that's how they sell it to us, right? Because it's now with your, what's the big push? Smart homes. Now, I've said this before. Anytime you see the word smart before something, replace it with big brother, right? Smart home is a big brother home. Your smart car is a big brother car. Your smart office is a big brother office. Your smart watch is a big brother watch, right? Your smartphone, biggest tracking device ever invented in man's history. Is really what that is. But all your smart devices, your smart appliances, even the smart shoes, did you see how it told her to go what way? As long as you can get chips and everything, it's going to lead, they say, to a life of your wildest dreams. No, it's going to lead to a life of complete global slavery, including monitoring anything that you would buy or sell. And so I'm sitting there going like, man, smart home, smart watch, smart car, smart office, smart. What's next, a smart chip? That you put in your hand or even the forehead, you know, because they scanned grandma and grandpa to see if they were legitimate. Because again, you know, even with your smart watch or smartphone, you could lose it. But if everybody got a smart chip, I mean, because heaven forbid you get shut out of this wonderful utopia, this matrix they're creating for us. It's crazy, folks, all that's being put into place. But they got one more thing to do, and that too is happening. The third way that they're implementing a global cashless society needed for the 7-year tribulation, the mark of the beast, is now they're connecting all global currencies, right? Let's take a look at that passage again, and this is what we see. It's common sense. Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a what? A mark, right? On his right hand or on his forehead. Why? Because without that mark, no one could buy or sell unless he had that mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay? Now, again, this is just common sense. If the Antichrist and the false prophet, they're going to pull off this one world economy system, this mark of the beast system, okay, you not only have to combine all the world's economies into one, common sense, they've already got that one done. You not only have to connect every single product and every single person together into a matrix system that you can control all the buying and selling, not to mention a bunch of other stuff. That's being laid as we sit here. But you also, common sense, you have to connect all the currencies, the monetary transactions into one. Okay? You have to, in other words, make it go at some point electronic. You have to create a cashless society. And we get that because it says they control the buying and selling by what? With a mark, some sort of a mark, specifically on the right hand or the forehead. Now that tells you this has to be something that's electronic, because common sense tells you that the mark isn't like, hey, I need to go pay for groceries and somebody tapes a dollar bill to their hand. Oh, it's a mark. No, it's not that. Hey, I need to go, you know, go buy some food at a restaurant and somebody glues a $20 bill. It's the mark. Right? No. I mean, John already does that at the bowling alley. It freaks me out personally. But anyway, that's not what the mark is, right? You don't take cash. It's common sense. Whatever this mark is, it has to be something electronic that makes the transaction, which becomes universal at that point around the world. And that's exactly what's going on. Whether you realize it or not, folks, our world is going cashless. And dare I say, it's almost already there, including our own country. When I was doing this study, it's like, even myself, do you know how rare it is for me to ever even carry cash? I hardly ever carry cash, ever, right? And this is in the United States of America. Now, let me show you how fast we are going cashless and how fast it's ramped up in our lifetime. And let's do a little quick history of money.
The concept of currency ultimately boils down to trade. As far as historians know, the barter economy was the only form of trade until 3000 BCE, when the shekel started being used as the first standard unit of currency. Money as we know it today started to take shape around 600 BCE, when the first national currency was created. Coins were standard in civilizations around the world until the Song Dynasty printed the first paper money. Backed by gold, silver, and silk, paper currency was lighter and more convenient to carry. In the Middle Ages, the concepts of banking and commercialized debt emerged. While lending occurred throughout history, Italian merchants started turning a profit by financing the sea voyages of other traders. In the centuries that followed, the Industrial Revolution allowed people and ideas to move more freely. The movement to money wasn't far behind. Money wires made it faster and easier to send money across the world. Lending took on a new, more convenient form when the Diners Club began issuing credit cards that could be used at multiple locations, unlike the single store cards before them. The advent of the internet bred digital payments like online wire transfers and e-commerce. And in the last 20 years, our phones have become extensions of our wallets. Even to this day, money continues to evolve. In 2008, anonymous coders released Bitcoin, the first decentralized virtual currency on the internet.
Ooh, there's your electronic cash, and there's it connected to the Matrix system, okay? But I don't have time to get into that study on the Bitcoin. That's for another one. But as you can see, folks, the way that we exchanged money, it was tangible. It was in your hands. It might have been coins, might have been paper, but it was what we call cash, right? But what happened and around the 50s? It went from cash to here's a card. And we started to see the birth of electronic currency really begin to take off. Now, it's been a step-by-step process. Let me show you that. First, if we didn't have any money on us, if we didn't have any cash, what were we conditioned to do? Write a check. Huh? Remember those days? That's almost completely gone today. But that was the first big step. I don't have the cash. Well, hey, write a check, okay? Well, then, hey, listen, if you didn't have the money to write a check, okay, so you don't want it to bounce, okay. Well, hey, we're here for you. Then what you do is you just get one of those fancy living credit cards, huh? And as I've shared before, credit cards lead to debt. Debt is an acronym that stands for dumb excuses for buying things. Okay. But that's what's happened. So if you ain't got the money, you can buy now, right? Pay later. And he creates all this debt. It's called a credit card. Okay. But hey, speaking of being not going in debt, being a wise financial, steward, certainly as a Christian, if you don't want to go in debt by using a credit card, then guess what they came out with? They came out with these things. Remember the ATM debit card? And that was, it works just like a credit card, but it comes directly out of your checking account. Right, so you're not charged interest and all that stuff, okay? And then debit card spending overtook cash spending not that long ago, and now they're pushing, whether you want one or not, they're pushing these things. They're called smart cards. Smart cards are cards that have a microchip in it, okay? And believe it or not, I guarantee you, your cards that you got right now, whether it be your ATM debit card or credit cards, they all got this. You got a microchip card right now, whether you want one or not. Okay, but these are cards, it looks just like a credit card or ATM, but this one's got a microchip in it. And this allows them, okay, to store information on a much grander scale, also make financial transactions, and people are saying that because it's a microchip, it can be tracked as well, okay? But they've also, in our lifetime, it's gone now from smart cards with microchips into them into another device that has a microchip that virtually everybody on the planet has, and that's called a cell phone. Cell phone payments are all the rage, especially in other countries outside the U.S., but even the U.S., it's just tap and go, tap and go. We already have our phone in our hand, and we're used to just making payments, okay? But folks, America is basically already a cashless society. Let's take a look at that.
When Brianne Kimmel gets ready to go in the morning, cash is not in the equation.
I think the last time I went to an ATM was 2 years ago.
She streamlined her wallet to credit cards only. Cash, she feels, is inconvenient and dangerous.
There's a lot of times where I think if I had a lot of cash on me, I'd be a little bit anxious.
Between 2000 and 2015, non-cash payments in the U.S. grew by almost 400%.
Okay. I haven't really needed cash, to be honest. It's either my credit card or if I'm out with friends, I'll use Venmo.
Venmo, the mobile app where people can pay each other on a smartphone, now processes $2 billion a month. This year, Apple added similar payment capabilities in iMessage. These free services are so popular, 30 major banks recently launched a competing product called Zelle. Doing away with paper money has been a big boom for small businesses, too.
Chicken pie.
Washington's family-run Italian chain, Bazzelli's, has been in business for 5 decades. But at their newly opened downtown location, they've taken a radical step to remain competitive. No more cash. If you want to buy your lunch here, you'll have to pay with plastic.
In the United States of America, it's not just individuals, it's not just the younger generations coming up, and frankly, even us as adults, okay, who are really going cashless. We're already there, basically. Okay, but now businesses, here's the trend, businesses are demanding it. That's just one example. In the United States of America, you can't come here and buy and unless you what? We don't do cash anymore. It has to be electronic. Now, that's happening in our society. And again, you might think, well, okay, that's our country. We're kind of a little, you know, techno country here, whatever. But there's no way that the whole planet is going to go cashless anytime soon. Are you kidding me, folks? In fact, as techies we are, we're actually behind the curve. Many countries around the world are almost completely cashless, starting with Sweden. Listen to this. Sweden right now, folks, listen, is going so cashless that only, listen, 1%, only 1% of their system is cash transactions. 99% of all transactions in the whole country is electronic. Watch this.
In Sweden, almost all transactions are done digitally. Notes and coins are a thing of the past, and Sweden is leading the race to become the first completely cashless economy.
Sweden is the king of the card. There's not much you can't buy with a bank card these days. In fact, many shops don't take cash at all. When was the last time you used cash?
The last time I used cash was maybe the last year. In the summer.
People talk about where will Sweden be cashless, you know. For me, I've been living in a cashless society for 5 years. I haven't used cash for 5 years.
The banks, you know, they've stopped handling cash. Did you know that? The biggest banks in Sweden, they stopped handling cash.
Sweden is fast becoming one of the most cashless places in the world. So much so that banks won't handle your cash. In fact, it's hard to find any business that'll take it. You have to pay with card or with a mobile app on your phone, the most common of which is Swish, which was built by the banks.
Many of the shops don't take cash, so you have to have cards.
By value, barely 1% of all transactions in Sweden involve cash. And if the amount of cash in circulation continues to decline at its current rate, the country could be completely cashless by 2025.
Now, that's a historical issue. Not just individuals, not just individual businesses, but now we have, for the first time in man's history, a whole country, we ain't taking cash. It's all electronic. This is where Sweden is at, and they are leading the way. Now, again, you might be thinking, well, okay, so we're behind the curve with Sweden, but you mean to tell me every country is really going to go cashless? Yeah. He said it. God said it. He doesn't lie. He never gets it wrong. All people, rich and poor, free and slave, it's all going to happen. Every country is going to go cashless. And you think, well, come on, what about those, with all due respect, backwoods countries like, you know, Peru? They live out in the sticks. You mean that those people are going to go to an electronic cashless society? Yeah. So is East Africa and Nigeria. Folks, I'm telling you, we're actually behind the curve on this. Virtually every country on the planet is going cashless as we sit here in this sanctuary. Watch this.
Days of overstuffed wallets in your back pocket or purse might soon come to an end. By 2020, mobile wallets on our smartphones are expected to surpass the use of credit and debit cards in the U.S. That has already happened in China. Ben Tracy is in Beijing to show us what a nearly cashless society actually looks like. Ben, good morning.
Good morning. So when I moved here to China a couple of months ago, I kept getting funny looks every time I would pull cash out of my wallet to pay for things. And then I got one of these. It's a code on my phone. And now I can basically buy anything here in China. When you pay for something, how do you pay for it?
What about phone?
On the streets of Beijing, cash is definitely not king.
What do you think of people who use cash to pay for things?
That's rare and weird, he says. Only the elderly and people who don't know how to use a phone pay cash.
So if you were looking to buy a coffee a couple years ago here in London, it might have been normal to ask the question, do you take cards? Now that question is increasingly becoming, do you take cash?
We probably have customers here now that don't even know we don't accept cash because they just tap their card and go.
Ross Brown stopped accepting cash at his London cafe more than a year ago after a trip to Sweden, where he said paper money was nowhere to be found.
From groceries to bus fares to fuel, you don't get far without a handful of cash.
Have you ever imagined a world without it, using just these and this?
Tanzanian tech expert Jones Amrusha believes we should all move to digital payments. The challenge right now is that hardly any Tanzanians have bank accounts or credit cards, but they do have mobile money. Financial transactions run over the phone network. Jones is one of a group of campaigners, and they say mobile money gives East Africa a unique opportunity to get ahead of the rest of the world.
Only 29% of Peruvians have bank accounts, one of the lowest levels of use of financial services in Latin America. To bring in people in places like Andahuaylas, e-money promoters had to look at the kind of transactions people use in their everyday life. They found that no matter how humble the person or remote the area, cellular phones were ubiquitous.
Mobile phones are the great leveller in Peru. There's at least one for every person in the country. And most people use prepay, where you go to the shop and buy your credit over the counter. And the e-wallet works in much the same way.
BIM, the Spanish initials for mobile wallet, is a bank account on your phone. And you don't need a smartphone to send and receive money. In fact, you don't even need a bank account, just a four-digit key.
You walk around Delhi and you find signs for these digital payment platforms everywhere. Paytm, Samsung, MobiQuick, just to name a few.
The number of digital transactions in India have quadrupled since November last year. Welcome news to a government on a mission to reduce India's reliance on cash.
The 500 rupee and 1000 rupee currency notes presently in use will no longer be legal tender.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi pulled nearly 90% of banknotes from circulation last year. One thing is clear, the historic shakeup's been a big boom to India's digital economy.
Paying without cash is fast becoming the norm.
I pay even tiny amounts with my card.
It's just easier.
It's becoming easier and easier.
Will cash soon be a thing of the past?
When I think about it, I pay more without cash than with.
We cannot use cash money in Sweden anymore.
Around the world, financial corporations, politicians, and leading economists are working to do away with cash.
I see a future where you will be able to hold digital euro, digital dollars directly at the central bank.
Who stands to profit from a world without money? And who will be the losers?
Ooh, what a question. The spirit of Arnold Horshack is all over me. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I know the answer, right? The losers are going to be those people who, unfortunately, today reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and get left behind at the rapture. They're going to be thrust into the horrible seven-year tribulation period. At one point, they are going to be thrust with a choice. You need to accept or reject this mark of the beast system. And if you don't, you're going to be shut out of the system. Oh, by the way, if you don't do it, you're going to be sent straight into hell. If you take the mark, you're going to be sent straight into hell. The Bible's very clear about that. Don't take the mark. But avoid the whole thing by getting saved right now. But if you don't take the mark in this time frame, okay, you're going to be shut out of the system. Now, the winners, to answer that question, is going to be the Antichrist and the false prophet, who, as you can see, are working so feverishly behind this system to get it all into place. Folks, put it all together. There's no way this is my chance. In our lifetime, if you're going to create, that was spoken of the Bible nearly 2,000 years ago, a mark of the beast system that's controlling all the buying and selling on the whole planet, you have to connect all the global economies on the planet. Is that done? Yes. You have to be able to connect every product, every person that could potentially ever buy and sell on the planet. Is that being done? As we sit here. And then you have to make all the currencies go electronic because it's going to go into some sort of a marking device to be able to make those transactions. Is that being done? A lot further than what we realize, isn't it? And that's what you need to create the mark of the beast system in the seven-year tribulation. Now, as we close, believe it or not, this is so common sense that that's exactly where this is leading to. I couldn't believe I came across this. Even the secular news admits this is the mark of the beast system unfolding before our eyes. Watch this.
So many economists believe the future will be cash free. You're already seeing it from everywhere you go, whether it's your baseball game or to your local deli. Now, Sweden is getting there even faster than anyone else, according to a New York Times report. And 4,000 Swedes, now get this, have microchips implanted in their hands so they can pay for products with just a wave of their hand. Makes the Apple Watch kind of look obsolete. So on top of that, many Swedish companies are asking their employees to get implants to pass through access points and to pay for conveniences. Now the red flags start going up. So for our red flags, we have to turn to legal media analyst Lionel. Lionel, thanks for joining us on this. I know you've got some red flags, and I feel like I'm reading out of the book of Revelation, possibly. So what concerns come to you arise from humans microchipping themselves?
This is the mark of the beast. Let me tell you something. I'm no biblical scholar here, but it's amazing the parallels made. Now listen, let's get down to brass tacks. I wish they'd stop with this. They go, we're going cashless. We've been cashless. Where's this cash? Ever buy a house with cash or a car? We've got this. I got a couple of bucks. We've been cashless. But that's not the issue. One of these days, these kids, I think you call them millennials or something, they're going to take these little tiny RFID, radio frequency identification chips, about the size of a grain of rice. And they're going to be cool, Scotty. Oh, they're going to be waiting in line overnight to get implanted. And they're going to say, look at this. I can go to the drugstore. I can go to a cab. Isn't it great? How cool am I? Look, I've got this little embedded chip. And they'll say, they have medical records. And you're going to do that to grandma and grandpa in case, God forbid, they have some kind of dementia they're walking off? I mean, after all, we have it in our dogs, right? It's like OnStar for human beings. But here's the catch. One of these days, God forbid, Scotty, you defy, they find you guilty of something. And you go before a court, and they say, we're going to sentence you to prison? No. We're going to turn your chip off, and you don't exist.
Poof. Folks, I don't know that either one of those entities are even Christians. But even they know what, dare I say, much of the church is trying to put their head in the sand. We are watching for the first time in man's history the mark of the beast system being put into place. It's not coming. It's already being laid as we sit here. And folks, the point for you and I is this. This is why Jesus said when these things begin to take place, what do? Stand up, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. We don't know the day nor the hour, but man, it is getting close, i.e. the rapture of the church. We're going home. We need to finish here as a faithful bride, letting as many people know as they can. Listen, avoid this whole mark of the beast cashless system now by getting saved. Amen. But again, if you're here today, if you're not saved, you need to get saved now. Don't fall for this lie, because it's a lie from the pit of hell. This cashless system is not going to lead to a life of ease and party living. Are you kidding? It's going to lead to hell on earth. And the Bible says that if you get left behind and if you don't take, you're going to go poof. You won't exist. But if you do take it, the Bible says you have sealed your doom. Those who take the mark of the beast, you will go straight into hell. avoid it by getting saved through Jesus now. Amen? Let's pray.
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.